Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds, a podcast intended to connect and inform people who utilize, prescribe, and provide seating and wheeled mobility equipment. I'm your host, Angie Kiger. Episode 2. I'm super excited to actually welcome some friends of ours from the International Seating Symposium staff. What? And we're going to walk through a little bit about the history of ISS, where we've been, reflect on that, and then, of course, talk about what you guys can expect from the ISS crew and everything exciting that's being planned for our first in-person ISS since 2019. So, Mark Schmaler, will you quickly just do your little, like, bio? Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, good question. I'm Mark Schmaler. I think by background, an occupational therapist and a first and foremost, an occupational therapist. How's that sound? But ended up at a university about 30 years ago and haven't left. So I'm a clinical academic researcher, jack of all trades, master of none.
Indeed. And the man, the myth, the legend, I think, behind ISS. And I know you were a modest gentleman in that, but a lot of us look towards you as really the face of ISS for all these years. So excited to have you. And Rachel, I know Mark pulled you into this, but you're relatively new, I think, to the ISS world as far as years go. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm Rachel Hibbs. I'm a physical therapist by background and still practicing. I am also in the academic world as well. Do a little bit of something similar to Mark of clinician, academic, researcher. And I joined the Department of Rehab Science and Technology at Pitt in 2020. I think about a week before the ISS 2020 in Vancouver, and as a director of continuing ed. And yeah, I've been with ISS since then. So coming up on or right over 3 years. But this will be my first in-person ISS as part of the team and not just attending in person.
Very
so
cool.
Excited about that.
Nice. And so I know most of our questions are going to be directed towards Mark and Rachel since they are in the thick of it. But Barry Steelman, I want to be sure to quickly shout out you since you're on here. So just another industry legend, but for the marketing purposes, what are you up to these days?
ISS for the most part. I came on in 2020 to help Mark out with exhibitors. And it's interesting being on this side of the fence instead of being an exhibitor. It's been an eye-opener for sure. Quite often, I apologize to Mark for the things that I put him through earlier. So,
Barry did such a good job when we were in Nashville to the point where it was really bothering me that Permobil, and I know that this is a Permobil thing, but hijacking the conference. And then I said, I need to hire this guy because he's just really good at marketing.
He's a legend in the world of CRT marketing. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Mark, you started at Pitt over 30 years ago.
Well, no, I've been in academia for 30
academia.
Years.
Academia.
Yeah.
Okay.
I came to Pitt in 95, 96. So
okay.
Almost 30 years. Yeah.
So I honestly, I know when my first ISS was, but I don't remember the history of ISS because I was brought into ISS by someone who you actually know, Mark. I used to work at the same hospital Jenny Payleg worked at. Mm-hmm. She often says that she raised me in the world of CRT. And I remember her being like, you've got to go to this conference, ISS, ISS. That's all Jenny would talk about back in the early 2000s. So where the heck did the concept of ISS come from?
Well, it was before I was still in high school. I think the first one was 1983. So it's 40 years, but I think they skipped a couple of years. That's why we're at 38. But yeah, it started in Vancouver in 83. And then, and basically it was just a group of people that did, seating, CRT, whatever that looked like in 83. And then, Elaine Treffler, Doug Hobson were at Memphis and they started the rehab engineering program there. They decided to do, one in Memphis. So then they decided, let's call this the ISS and let's alternate years, and then fast forward, I think my first ISS was 1992 or 93, I don't remember. But anyways, I remember I couldn't get in because it was sold out and I had to go into this overflow room and watch the lectures on a big screen. This is long before we had any kind of good technology to do that. So, and then it just kind of moved from there. I think I officially took over on the 25th ISS. So that would have been, I don't even know what year that was, but at least 13 ISSs ago. And then I moved it from Florida to Nashville just because we outgrew Florida, or Disney just didn't want us anymore for whatever reason. So we went to, well, I don't think we were big enough for them. Plus the price was pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nashville was hurting for business back then. That was like 2011. Now Nashville doesn't want us either, but that it made sense to go back to Pittsburgh. So that's sort of but it's grown as far as numbers. I remember, I think the first ISS I went to maybe was 400 people in Vancouver, maybe 400 in Florida, in Orlando. But we've grown now to be well over 2,000, at least when it takes place in the United States. And I also have to say, you know, we've expanded it. We've got, you know, Europe has had quite a few of them now. Oceania, you know, New Zealand, Australia's had them. Latin America's really grown to, you know, two or three, you know, Argentina, Colombia. We started out in Brazil. Brazil may come back online too. So it's kind of a nice collection of people around the world.
Yeah, it truly is something needed. I remember my first year of going to ISS, and then also first year of going to ESS. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily notice when you're in a hospital day to day doing the grind, doing the evaluations, that, hey, there's somebody, you know, across the pond or down under or wherever, that's also kind of having the same experience as you, whether it's the positives and also the negatives. And so really learning from each other. So that's been my favorite thing about ISS, is to really be able to say that I have connections all over the world. People, when you hit sort of this wall in CRT of like, what the heck am I going to do for this person? There's been no other professional conference that I've gone to. And, you know, I've gone to many in my career. I specialize in assistive technology, but also have the recreation therapy background, and, you know, been in this world for over 20 years. But ISS really, and not because I have you guys in front of me right now, but has been a different animal in the fact mm-hmm. that connections has been really cool. It's like, yeah, sure, we work for, you know, those of us on the manufacturer side work for competitors. Those of us that work on the provider side work for competitors. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's just a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. It's a naturally occurring support network, if anything else.
And we need that for sure.
Right, right. We're not alone. Definitely. No one, the general public has no idea who we are and what we do until they need us.
Exactly.
You know, then when you go to ISS, you're with your people. You don't have to explain your existence at ISS.
It's true. I have a cousin that has cerebral palsy, grew up volunteering at Susan's camps. And I tell you what, you would think that my mother would have some sort of clue about what I do, but Mark, I try to explain to her all the time what I do, and she does not have a clue.
Nope.
God bless Sandy Kiger. But anyway, when we look at, you know, ISS 2019, first year back in Pittsburgh, what were our numbers there? Like, how many folks did we attract? That was y'all's big homecoming.
Yeah, I think it was over 2,400. It was just about the same as it was in Nashville. Because I remember having this discussion with some of your colleagues, like, don't move it out of Nashville. No one wants to go to Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I beg to differ on that one. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is a cool city. People don't know that Pittsburgh's a cool city, but we also don't want people to know it's a cool city, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We'd rather, we tell people, you know, go to Nashville. There's plenty of space there. So we like to keep Pittsburgh kind of like the best kept secret, but I think that's changing. Pretty soon we'll get kicked out of Pittsburgh too.
No.
Maybe we'll, yeah. Pittsburgh. No, it really comes down to like whether the convention center wants you, and are you going to bring enough money? So when you're hurting for business, you'll take organizations, but then when you become popular, the price goes up.
True story. Yeah.
And hence, that's what happened in Orlando. That's what happened in Nashville. And that's possibly what's going to happen here in Pittsburgh. That would be a good problem for Pittsburgh.
It would be. So we need to start thinking of like those B-level cities mm-hmm. that want to like expand and talk with our Chamber of Commerce and start. That's where we'll start moving. So anybody listen to this, we've got a good secret city you want ISS to expand to in the future years. Let Mark Schmaler know. Maybe it'll happen.
Yeah. No, I'd say let Rachel know.
Okay, there we go.
She's going to be the one that has to live this moving forward. I'll be around for a little while. I'm not going anywhere. It's just secession planning needs to start early. So
indeed. Yep. Indeed, indeed. So, Rachel, as you're preparing for 2023, what have been some of the numbers looking like, you know, from the manufacturers? Because you got to think about, we got therapists listening to this. So are they going to be able to see the, you know, the same caliber of exhibitors there, the new products, that sort of vibe? You know, what do we have going on?
Yeah, I'll take a first stab and then Barry can probably correct anything that I say incorrectly. But the exhibit hall is a bigger floor print than it was in 2017 for sure, and about the same as 2019. We have close to 100 exhibitors. We have new exhibitors. So it really should be a way to network and meet the new people, see the new products, and see the ones that you're used to, you know, the big groups that you're used to seeing. And then overall numbers, I can't break it down to clinicians and exhibitors and things like that off the top of my head, but the overall numbers are trending toward what it looked like in 2019. So it really, although we were anxious about do people still want to come back in person, it seems like, yes, people are excited to maybe ditch the Zoom or Teams or whatever webinar and come back in person and see things and touch things in the exhibit hall and do the hands-on stuff. So looking to be as big as it was 4 years ago.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you, both you and Mark, about that. So, you know, I remember 2021 was when ISS was scheduled for. It got pushed back. We did the virtual thing in 2022, and lots of people were super, super excited about that. And now we're back in person. I'm just curious, has there been, you know, people saying, oh, you have to do a hybrid approach? Because I noticed that you guys opted not to, which I'm curious, was that demand or just kind of a, you know, we want to bring people back in person?
I can start. Just it really came down to a resource issue. When you do a hybrid, you know, you're basically putting on two conferences at the same time. So it's twice mm-hmm. the work. We thought, at least for this year, let's just take a break. Let's do an in-person conference. Let's get our feet back on the ground. Let's reboot. What's going to happen in the next one? Probably we'll have a hybrid, but we decided mm-hmm. this time we just don't have the bandwidth. I mean, it seems like we just finished January 2022 yesterday, even though it was more than a year ago.
Right.
But that really sucked the life out of all of us. So, so
I feel like we've been planning ISS since I joined the ISS team in 2020. And it's honestly almost true that we were planning 2021, you know, spring, summer 2020. And then we pivoted multiple times and then we did hybrid and then we turned right around basically no break and started planning for 2023. And like Mark said, it was just a resource consideration. We have gotten some people asking, why aren't you doing hybrid? But it seems like by and large, many people are pretty excited to just do in person again. I think mm-hmm. we'll have to feel it out and get some more information for the future. But for now, it seems like many people are excited to be back in person. I'm personally excited to be back in person and just more manageable from our team standpoint that we don't have to manage online and Zoom and chat and all of the needs of being at the convention center all at once.
Yeah. And actually, I had a conversation with an exhibitor this morning and they were asking, are we going to do hybrid? And I said, no. And they thanked me because they said, it's actually twice the work for them as well, right? You mm-hmm. have to do an in-person conference, and then you have to plan for the hybrid. And so it's a conversation that I think we'll have to have in the future moving forward.
When I look at the conferences that I attend, and I loved ISS last year. I think part of it was because it was, you know, I was happy to be back and learning new things. You know, it was live, but, you know, I'm one of the most transparent people y'all will ever meet. When I went back to listen to some of them on demand, because I was like, ooh, I've got my CEUs due, I've still got access to them, I wasn't nearly as attentive. And I think that is human nature to do. You don't do it on purpose, but I think it's one of those things that's like, oh, I need to throw my laundry in, you know, you let it run for a couple and then you would come back. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to throw laundry in when I'm in person. Right. So, yeah, so I'm definitely excited. I was super excited. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be presenting this year. I did have a change in my career since ISS last year. But with that, I'm actually excited just to go and sit and learn. I'm super pumped about that. So, Rachel, when you decided to come into ISS, the ISS team, I know that Mark probably really needed some assistance and wanted, you know, somebody else to kind of pass this legacy on to eventually. But I got to hear from you. What made you want to jump on the ISS team?
That's a big question. But I think it was a lot of things. I think, you know, I still live in the clinical world and I started in the clinical world. And I think being on the ISS team sort of lets me have a platform by which to help meet the needs. And I think you mentioned earlier that there are a lot of suppliers aging and retiring and clinicians aging and retiring. And to me, that seems like a really interesting challenge of trying to find and bring in new suppliers and manufacturers and clinicians to help fill the void of even bigger group of people with disabilities, particularly in the US, but internationally as well. And that joining the continuing ed team and the ISS means that we can try to change the field a bit and attract new and younger professionals and better meet consumers' needs and doing education's a really interesting way, in my opinion, to try to attempt to make a difference there.
Excellent. Definitely needed for sure. I mean, I'm on the board of the clinician task force. And I know Mark is on a clinician task force also. And that's something that we talk about all the time, even within the CTF. It's like, mm-hmm. How can we, with our social media, with the marketing that we do, all volunteer, except for Karen. And then we've also got Margaret helping us with some administrative assistance. But other than that, how do we attract? How do you make seating and mobility cool? it's a challenge. But the folks that are needing the equipment, needing the evaluations, that won't change. So how can we attract a younger audience and a more diverse audience from that aspect? But I guess Mark, who is ISS for? Like if you were to be talking to therapists who've never attended ISS or folks, how do you inspire people to say you should come to Pittsburgh in April?
Yeah, well, IS, not necessarily even just a clinician. So if you look at how ISS has kind of like naturally evolved, and some of it was strategic, some of it just occurred. I think we're a conference that does a good job of bringing two major factions of our industry together in more of a neutral environment. Mm-hmm. So you've got exhibitors, which are companies that make, manufacture equipment, sell services to the clinicians. And then you've got the clinicians who need their education and training, but also need to know the equipment. We're basically bringing two people into one organization, also in a way that doesn't have any real or even perceived conflicts of interest. And that's very important to us. It's important to the university that you can't have too much commercial influence or whatever people want to call it. I mean, I know it occurs everywhere. I think that's what I try to tell people is like, you're going to go to this, you're going to get everything from introductory to high level education, but you're also going to be able to see, touch, talk to people about the equipment that's there. And interestingly, the cost of ISS is equally split between attendees and exhibitors. Mm-hmm. So there's no, we could raise our booth prices and lower our registration fees, but then the one party would have more say perhaps than the other party. And we try to keep it equal. And that's the cost too. Mm-hmm. There's a cost associated with that. We bring food into the exhibit hall, and that's our biggest expense.
Yeah.
So that we could say, hey, well, we'll cut the price in half, but you're going to have to go out to lunch on your own. That's not going to help our exhibitors. So
Mark has done a very good job of keeping that balance, right? I remember when we transitioned from being at an all product conference, and then we had always been at ISS, but it really wasn't heavy on the manufacturing side. It was always education. So as we made that transition, Mark has done a really good job of keeping that balance where it's not too much education or too much product, too much manufacturing. So that's what we pride ourselves on now is we balance the sessions so you can have unopposed time in the exhibit hall, but then you're also getting quality CEU for your certification. So mm-hmm. Hats off to Mark for keeping that balance because I know I was even one pressuring him to make it more manufacturing focused, but he's done a really good job of just keeping a healthy balance between the two.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have to. And I think a lot of people don't actually realize the importance of that. But if you go to some other industry, non-industry events, you see that it's just like splattered everywhere. It's like to make you brand biased. And you want, as an attendee. So, right, I know I've worked for manufacturers now for about 11 years of 11 years of my career. But kind of when I look over it, I still find myself walking into an exhibit hall. And because I have friends that have disabilities or friends with children that have disabilities, there's always somebody in the back of my head that I have in mind about, I'm going to walk this exhibit hall and hopefully I'm going to find a solution for whoever it is. That's what I love about ISS is most of the time, and I always tell people if they've never been to ISS, I'm like, come with your most challenging clients in your head and you're either going to find a provider that's going to give you some inspiration, or you're going to find a therapist, or you might be go to a manufacturer and find like this really cool new solution that will help them.
Right.
So one of the things I also love about ISS is the fact, you know, it is the International Seating Symposium. So totally on the spot, Rachel, I know we laughed earlier about how I had not, you know, had to do any research, but do Mark, either you or Rachel have any idea how many different countries of attendees or presenters or whatever are going to be represented this year?
We haven't looked at the, we usually do that a week before just to see, because I always want to know what, how many states are we covering, how many provinces in Canada. If I go, we go out 2019, I think that was the first year we had all 50 states.
Oh, wow.
If everybody remembers one time I was doing the intro and I said, we got 49 states, there's no one here from Wyoming. And then sure enough. I spoke and said, anybody from Wyoming, if you get anybody from Wyoming, we'll pay for their registration. And sure enough, six people from Wyoming contacted me and said, I'll take you up on that. But no, 34 countries was the last one, if I remember correctly. And I think, you know, and I always announce a new one, like I think Mozambique was one of the new countries that came, but Yemen was another one. Or no, maybe that was the virtual one. But yeah, it's covers a third of the world's countries.
Crazy. Never had any idea it would have that reach when folks started back in the early 80s.
No, but not what they called it ISS because it was Canada, US, which I'm Canadian. Nice. I can say Canada is kind of part of the US most of the time.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So what are we looking forward to? I've got the ISS schedule pulled up on my other monitor over here, kind of looking over it. And I don't know if you're able to talk about who your keynotes are going to be this year, or like, what are some of the things that you guys are looking forward to kind of sharing with the attendees what to expect?
Sure. I'll start with opening and closing. So the opening keynote is a gentleman, Chaz Kellum, who is actually local to Pittsburgh. His background's in community and social and justice, inclusion, things like that. He actually works for an insurance company, now doing some diversity, inclusion and healthcare work. He's worked in academics before in the disability, inclusion and accessibility area. So he's kicking off the opening, talking about beyond accessibility and what does diversity and inclusion mean in the disability world. So really excited about that. And then the closing speaker on Saturday is also someone, ironically, local to Pittsburgh, but he is the CEO and founder of Able Gamers. His name is Steve Spahn. Able Gamers, if you're not familiar, is a company or a nonprofit that does inclusive and accessible gaming. And they're international as well. So really excited to have Steve talk about accessible commercial technology and how that meshes with the AT world.
Yes, I'm super stoked about that one. And for many reasons, I briefly considered stepping away from the industry a while back because I actually had the chance to meet with Jenny Le Fleury from Microsoft, who is their chief accessibility officer. And it's just really cool things to see more of what is becoming mainstream. That'll be awesome to hear about, hear from both those speakers. All right. So it sounds like we've got on tap. We've got some pretty awesome things for this year. Can I get you guys to tease anything that, like, I know we're just trying to get through April and it's going to be an awesome event, but what else can we expect from ISS in the future?
I can say that we'll have announcements at ISS for the future. And I can say that just a reminder that the ISS team, while really has focused on ISS almost solely for the last few years, does other things. We have some online certificates and other things that people can access with more specific topics or as pre-ATP prep for people getting into the industry, things like that. We may focus on that for a little while. So other things to look for, and still really pretty much focused on 2023 ISS. So that's about all I can say right now.
Totally understand.
But I think in general, I mean, we want to keep this momentum going. You know, how we do that, we're constantly figuring that out, and it seems to be working so far. Like you mentioned, people age out, new people have to come in. I mean, we have the same sort of strategy with the exhibit hall. Companies buy companies, and last year we may have had two different exhibitors, but now they're merged into one exhibit space. So proportionally, they don't necessarily get a bigger booth, but we have to keep the new companies at the forefront, take care of the existing companies. And you can say the same thing about the attendees. Got new people coming in. You have people that have been around forever and have seen, you know, you're not going to teach them a whole lot. So you have to keep the content high end for that, but also support who's coming behind us. And some of that is not just ISS. It's the work we do with all of continuing education and even our curriculum, you know, our master's degree. It'll be around. It'll be around in some shape or form. I'm confident of that.
Nice. Well, I'm excited. When we record this, we're just over 30 some odd days away. Mark, it was funny. One of our mutual friends, Nicole LaBerge, texted me over the weekend and she was like, I just booked my flights for ISS. I'm like, oh yeah, I probably need to do that. And then she's like, we know it's only like 30 some days away. I'm like, oh no, it is that close. So yeah, need to get on that. Thanks guys so much for joining us. I look forward to seeing all three of y'all in person here in 30 days or so. By the time people are hearing this, it'll just be like about 2 weeks. So super exciting. Thanks guys.
Yep. Thank you. Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you for listening to Wheelchair Nerds, presented by Permobil. Today's episode was brought to you by...
The future of power wheelchairs is here. Introducing the Permobil F5 Corpus VS. It combines the performance features of the F5 Corpus with superior power standing functionality. Leverage fully programmable standing sequences using a combination of supine, semi-reclined, or sit-to-stand techniques. You can even fine-tune standing positions with adjustable chest support, moldable knee supports, and power articulating foot plates. And now, the F5 Corpus is available with Group 3 and Group 4 base codes, making it more accessible than ever to pursue power standing. Stand without compromise with the F5 Corpus VS.
So happy you joined us today. If you like what you heard, then be sure to subscribe and tell your nerdy friends. Have a topic you want discussed or know a great guest? Hit us up at Wheelchair Nerds on Instagram. See y'all in the next one.